When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
El futuro tiene nada más que la confrontación.
Hey, welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. I used to host a podcast called Unpopular Opinion, and that podcast was this podcast. But then everyone else in the world decided they liked the name Unpopular Opinion a lot too, so we changed the name to You Don't Even Like This Show. Each week, me and a couple of guests selected from a pool of the absolute sharpest minds the LA entertainment scene has to offer, use this here space to talk about whatever the hell we want. News, pop culture, politics, information, you name it, we talk about it. And sometimes my co-host Jeff May is here too. It's a blast. You're going to love it. Hey, everybody. Welcome to You Don't Even Like This Show, a podcast about news, pop culture, technology, information, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, explosives, drugs, all the cool stuff. I'm your host, Adam Todd Brown. Joining me as co-host this week, my favorite co-host of all, no co-host, but I do have a guest who is my co-host on another podcast. That would be Travis motherfucking Clark.
That's me. I'm good. How are you?
I am just great. I'm happy to be doing a more lighthearted episode this week. We've been getting into some heavy shit, but Travis is my co-host on You Don't Even Like This Band, one of my co-hosts, along with Andy Sell, who's working a movie festival right now. And we are talking about summer entertainment. Things to do to get you out of the house this summer or to keep you in the house, depending on which of these things you go for. But I like it. We're chilling this week. It's a laid back episode.
I like the topic too, because I haven't thought about just summer entertainment in some time. Just the idea of, oh, right. As a kid, you'd look forward to this shit all the time, or even as a young adult. But then, I don't know, lockdowns and pandemics and all this shit, I kind of stopped thinking about seasons.
Yeah. COVID made me stop thinking about a lot of things. I didn't even think about doing this episode until I got Shakira tickets recently. And that is what reminded me that, oh yeah, concerts are back pretty much.
Yeah. And what we were talking about before the show started, they're not affordable.
No, because the first thing we're going to talk about is some upcoming concert tours. And I'm not going to talk about Shakira because that show is happening in November. So that's not summer entertainment.
No, that's summer adjacent, though. That's if you were buying property, you'd be like, this is close to summer. You can see summer. Yeah.
It'll still be summerish where I am.
Sure.
Nothing else. But tickets for that. Oh, my God. I got the next to last cheapest tickets. There was one cheaper level behind these if I wanted to sit in the last row of the forum. So I got the second cheapest tickets. Mm. And Travis, I paid more than $500.
A ticket?
No, for two tickets.
Okay.
If it was per ticket, I would have just not gone. I could have gotten better seats, but those were $400 each. And even if I can afford it, I have my limits when it comes to what I will pay for concerts, because you can hear it from wherever you're at.
That's true.
And so I don't always need to have the best seats. We have decent seats for Shakira, but
500.
Yeah. And it could have been 400 a ticket plus fees. That would have played out to be over $1,000.
Yeah. And that's one night.
It's one night. I'm paying to see Shakira what I paid to see Metallica for two nights, basically.
Well, but you can't compare the two. I mean, Metallica, although if they combined, if you could get Metallica Shira.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Hips Don't Lie, but with Hetfield on guitar. Come on.
Yeah, it will be nice to see Pantera in a smaller venue because they're all starting for Shakira.
That's a great pairing.
It really is.
Pantera and Shakira would be, I would go to that for real.
Shantara.
She's actually opening for Pantera. Crazy.
She's the touring second singer of Pantera right now. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what kind of gave me the idea to do this episode. And we, like I said, are going to talk about some upcoming concert tours first. Maybe this will give people some ideas, things they can go out and do themselves. Up first, Foo Fighters.
What? I was surprised to see this one based on your Foo Fighter opinion.
That's the thing. The tour is called the Everything or Nothing at All Tour. Runs from May 1st to May 11th. Don't fucking wear yourself out, fellas. It's 10 whole days.
Wait, that's the tour? I thought that was a residency someplace.
No, I think they're doing the tour in separate legs because there are shows in August also. So I think they're probably breaking it up. But I just wanted to make that joke no matter what.
I just love the idea that the Foo Fighters are touring like a band who also has a day job. We can only go for 10 days because I got to be back in the office.
Yeah. Who's their drummer now? Who did they replace?
Josh Freese.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The Foo Fighters, I do talk a lot of shit about them because I think they haven't made a really great album since 1999. They have some good albums since then, but I feel like it's been diminishing returns kind of with every album since There's Nothing Left to Lose, which, ironically enough, one of my favorite albums of all time. Probably top five. Love it, love it, love it.
That's interesting. I am a forever a Foo Fighters apologist, although I will say I have diminishing interest as the later albums come out.
Yeah, it was really Sonic Highways that ruined it for me.
And I really liked that album. I didn't love it. It's not my favorite, but I liked it.
Yeah, after that, I just couldn't do it. They also had that The Sky is a Neighborhood song, I remember. And it's like, this isn't what you do. Stop it.
This isn't what you
sound like. Imagine Dragons right now. Embarrassing.
Imagine Foos.
But the first three Foo Fighters albums are damn near flawless. They're so good.
And that first album is a solo record. I just read this, that This Is a Call, which was the first single they ever put out. It's purposely nonsensical because he didn't want anything to be tied back to, oh, is he talking about Kurt? Oh, is he talking about Nirvana? It's like, this doesn't mean anything. This is just words.
And meanwhile, that's how Kurt Cobain wrote songs. Trying to be Kurt Cobain? Just doing words? Say something. Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Those first three Foo Fighters albums, I love a whole lot. And every album, at least up to, I would say, Wasting Light, there's some really good singles. So the Foo Fighters in concert are
amazing.
Pretty great. I've seen them a bunch of times in concert. And if I hadn't blown my concert load on Shakira tickets, I might have actually gone to see Foo Fighters. The problem is they're at SoFi, I think.
As we've learned from Metallica, that's a tough night.
It's a tough night. There's so much about it that is just not good about going to SoFi. It's a nightmare getting there. It's a nightmare getting out. The sound kind of sucks. So I probably still wouldn't have gone to see Foo Fighters.
Speaking of the fighting Foos, I don't know if you know this, but their frontman is also a drummer. Did you know that?
I have heard of this before.
So apparently, and this is news to me, that about 20 years ago, he did an album with this band. I want to get this name right. Queens of the Stone Age.
That doesn't sound like a real band.
I had to do a little research into it. And apparently it's been my favorite band for over 20 years now. I didn't realize that. So I'm going to go see them May 24th in Santa Barbara.
I love a Santa Barbara concert.
I do too. I love Santa Barbara. I'm not in the right tax bracket to live there, but I like the city. And this will be, I believe, my 40th time seeing Queens of the Stone Age live. I think I lost count. I used to know the number.
That is a lot.
Yeah, I've seen them a lot. I don't know if my blurred background is allowing it to happen, but I'm actually wearing my Queens of the Stone Age ball cap that I got when I saw them last December. But I am such a fan and their catalog is so big now that just seeing them perform once live, I'm still like, you didn't play Made to Parade off the new record. I didn't hear Vampires of Time and Memory off of Clockwork. I have all these songs that I wish that they played.
Sure.
So I'm hoping second 5 month later date, I'll get to hear some of the other songs I really like. So I'm really excited to head off to Santa Barbara to go see the boys again.
Yeah, I have never seen them. I want to see them.
Oh, well, originally this was, so May 24th is also my wedding anniversary. Did you know I was married? Oh yes, you
were. Yeah,
I was. So originally this was going to be a getaway for the wife and I, but that may not happen due to, boy, that sounds like things are going bad in my marriage. That's another way I've set that up. That's bad. That's bad on my part. Our dog isn't well, so we may not be able to both go do it. So let me find out if I got that second tick, and then maybe you and I could do a little road trip to the Barbara if you're in town.
I would certainly be down, but also I hope your dog is well enough that you can both go. It sucks.
Thanks, man.
Ah, Leroy, you're a good
boy. Yeah, Leroy's the best. Leroy's my puppy boy, and I love that guy with all my heart. But let's not bring the show down. You know what else is happening? Whores.
Whores. I like them all caps.
Yeah, that's how they, and all caps with a period. If you don't put all caps in a period and you search for whores on Google, you're going to get different results.
Yeah, things are going to go a different way.
Whores are just a three-piece band that sound like nine people having an argument, and it's awesome. They remind me a lot of another band I really like called Carp that are no longer around because they were also a three-piece and two of them aren't alive anymore. So that reminds me that anytime I like a big noisy three-piece, you're always just one or two tragic accidents away from that not being a band anymore. Sure. So I gotta go see Whores. I haven't ever seen them live. They're playing a super small place in downtown LA. And you know how we were talking about how expensive concerts are? Not if you're seeing a working class band. They're like $20. Come see us, please. That'd be great. Please come see our band.
Oh yeah. I didn't even put it in the notes, but I'm seeing Drive-By Truckers in June. And
oh,
the band has been around for 20 plus years and tickets are still so cheap. They're more expensive than they used to be, but still, I think like $40-$50. It's very nice.
Back in the heyday of one of my other favorite bands, Fugazi, it was like $5 to see them. $5.
That's one of the things I loved the most about living in downtown LA was there were so many shows and a lot of them were bands that charged $20 to $30 a ticket. I've seen the Coat Hangers 6 or 7 times, and I don't think I've ever paid more than $25 to see them. And that's when they were opening for a bigger band. It's great. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, look, big concerts can be fun, and you get to see these giant tours, and you get to see some of your favorite artists who've been making records for a long time. But taking a chance on that rock club in your area that you're like, eh, they usually book pretty good bands, and just throwing out a $10 to have a good night. Also worth doing.
Yeah. I saw Yaysayer a few years back. I mean, not a few years. They broke up in 2016, I think. 2017, something like that. But I bought tickets to see them just because a friend was going to be in town and was like, hey, we should do something. And I was like, fuck it. Let's go see Yaysayer. And they were like, I don't like Yaysayer. And I was like, all right, fuck you. I guess we're not hanging out this weekend. And me and the wife went and seeing them live, they're now one of my favorite bands. They, of course, broke up immediately afterwards, but yeah. It took seeing them live for me to really get it. So yeah, take that chance sometimes.
I mean, that's how Queens of the Stone Age became my favorite band is I had heard, oh, the guys from Caius, or they have a new band. And I was like, oh yeah, I liked Caius. Caius was cool. And I went and paid like $15 to see him at the Troubadour in 99 or 2000.
Oh, wow.
And I remember standing there watching them play and I went, oh, this is my favorite band. And that hasn't gone away for 24 years. So
yeah, you know, I imagine they're pretty good live.
They've only gotten better in my opinion. And people have opinions about the lineup changes over the years, but they still put on a hell of a show.
Yeah, I bet. Speaking of a hell of a show, I would love to see Jenny Lewis on tour this summer.
I would just love to see Jenny Lewis.
Yeah. And being in LA, it should be much easier to see her this summer than it is turning out to be.
You would think.
Yeah. She is an LA institution. I say that like she's 50 years older than me. I think we're the same age. She is embarking on a tour this year from June 18th to June 30th. Again, don't break your back or anything. Called the Joy All Ball. Name of her most recent album is Joy All. It's very, very good. It's on Blue Note Records, but it is not a jazz album.
Wasn't that one of your favorite records of last year?
Sure was. It's really, really good. Look up the song Psychos. It's great. And so I was very excited when I was researching this to see what kind of stuff we had coming out to see that she was embarking on this tour. And then I looked at the tour dates not only are there no dates in LA, there are no dates in California. I don't think there's even any dates in the Pacific time zone.
I think if I remember correctly, both Jenny Lewis and insurance companies have just been like, the cost of business in California is too high.
Honestly, it makes sense.
I just can't. It's just not economically feasible to do this.
So yeah, I guess I'm not going to see Jenny Lewis. I've seen her twice, but both times she was opening. So I've never seen her do a full show, which is disappointing.
I feel like I've asked you this before, and my apologies because I don't remember the answer. But she doesn't, the twins aren't with her anymore, right? That was just one
album. No, her first solo album was a collaboration with a group called the Watson Twins. But then after that, she's just been on her own. She also has a bunch of one-off side projects. One of my favorite albums of hers is called I'm Having Fun Now, I believe it's called.
With a question mark?
I don't. Is it? Let's see.
That was the way you inflected it. So I was like, oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I don't think so, though. God damn it. What is the name of the album?
That would be a good album name. God damn it. What's the name of the album? Put that out.
Okay, yeah, I'm right. It is called I'm Having Fun Now. And it is a joint album with her and her now ex-boyfriend, singer-songwriter Jonathan Rice. And it is chock full of bangers. They recorded under the name Jenny and Johnny. She's got a side project called Nice as Fuck. It's just her and two other female musicians. I haven't listened to that album yet.
I would love Nice as Fuck to be like a very aggressive band. To have it just, wow, what a misnomer. This is black metal. What's happening?
She was also in the Postal Service. I don't know if people know that.
I didn't know that. Full time or did a song?
She is the female voice you hear on those songs.
Wow. I had no idea.
You know why they're called the Postal Service?
Because UPS was taken?
They recorded that all in separate locations and were mailing the tapes back to each other. So that's where they get the name, the Postal Service. And yeah, Jenny Lewis was one of the people on that Postal Service album.
That's how long ago it was. There was no internet. It was all Pony Express.
Yeah, yep. Which is nuts. But hey, time moves fast. Is it? Yeah, we're going in order. So
yeah,
Summerfest. If you're in Wisconsin or the Midwest, Summerfest, you already know, is always a good time. It's kind of like a combination music festival and state fair. And when I say kind of, it is exactly that. They have on the grounds, they have this outdoor amphitheater called Marcus Amphitheater. I don't know if that's what it's still called. It's probably like the Acrisure Tax App Amphitheater.
Or the Robin Hood Crypto Exchange.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a huge outdoor music venue, like 20,000 seats, I think, something like that, 15, 20,000. And Summerfest lasts a little over 2 weeks, and they just have concert after concert after concert. One time when I was living in Wisconsin, in a 5-day span, saw Foo Fighters, Fleetwood Mac, and Tom Petty in 1 week at Summerfest. It was one of the greatest fucking weeks of my life. And this year's headliners aren't anything I care about that much, except Carly Rae Jensen. Motley Crue is there. I don't give a shit about that.
I thought Motley Crue finally retired. I thought they were like, we can't do this anymore. And Mick Mars is too sick to tour anymore.
Yeah, Mick Mars can't even move, right?
Yeah, that's right. And they got John Five, who used to be with Marilyn Manson, to be their new guitar player.
Oh.
I just remembered that.
That makes sense. Yeah, and Summerfest is a lot of fun. If you're in the area and you've never been, you should go. Because it's really fun being able to hit a state fair for an hour or two and then end the night with fun concert. I always love Summerfest.
I'm of two minds about festivals because there's only two kinds of festivals. Ones that you go, God, I wish I didn't go to this. And ones like what you're describing, where you're like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And we used to have one around here called Sunset Junction, which was amazing. They would shut down a large portion of the Sunset and all these bands would play. And it was kind of like a hipster state fair because it was like there'd be people selling shit and it was a whole weekend kind of thing. And it used to be truly independent. And then the second the corporate sponsors came in, then it sucked and then it went away.
Yeah.
But I still remember walking around and hearing Sonic Youth echoing through the Hollywood Hills as they were playing. Just one, Sonic Youth was still together, and two, they were just closing out this whole festival. So you can have really great memories of festivals, or you can have a, boy, I spent a lot of money and I think, I don't know if I had fun.
Yeah. The thing about Summerfest is it's less festival and more concert series.
That's cool.
It's definitely not a festival vibe. The outdoor amphitheater, there's seats. There's the lawn area up top. It's basically the same setup as the Hollywood Bowl. They call it Summerfest, but it's not really a music festival, which, yeah, I appreciate that because I hate a music festival.
Yeah. Speaking of which, I've never been to Coachella and I've never wanted to go less as I've aged. There's just no appeal to me about that.
The only way I would go is if Portugal the Man was playing and they could get me backstage or something.
Sure.
And that's not because I want to meet a bunch of fucking celebrities. It's because I don't want to fuck with that crowd. But even then, I think that came up as soon as I met them. They were like, yeah, we can get you into most shows except Coachella. So yeah, I've never had any desire. That's how I found out Shakira was touring, because she was one of the surprise performers the first weekend of Coachella.
Did you hear the story about Blur at Coachella?
Yeah, they were mad because the crowd wasn't being loud enough.
You'll never see us again. We don't know who you are. We're 20.
Yeah, the only way people were going to be excited about that was if the Gorillas came out and introduced them first. We're like, hey!
They'd be like,
it's us! It's us! Just have that cartoon walk out there. Here's a band you've never heard before.
Man, that guy from the Blur is ripping off the Gorillas so hard.
Yeah, Blur. I hope Oasis gets back together.
We've been talking about that for a while. I mean, if that happens, we got to get our own band back together and go see them live. We got to get the three of us to that.
We'll definitely make it happen. But yeah, it seems like they're not getting along well enough.
What are you telling me those two don't get along? They're brothers. How could they not love each other?
It's crazy. It's crazy. I know. But sometimes siblings have disagreements.
I think it's an act. I think they are the music equivalent of the WWE. I think they're both playing the audience the whole time.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's been that at some points, honestly. It seems like they hate each other right now, though.
Right, come around for Christmas. We'll love each other, but then we'll do a press release about how we hate each other, and then we'll go on tour. But with separate bands, because fuck you.
Oh, that new Liam Gallagher album is so bad.
I did not care for it. And you were the first person to tell me, hey, did you know this existed? And then you were like, it's weird. And then I listened to it. And I went, I can't.
Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. And I like a lot of his solo stuff, but
I do too. But when a man in his 50s is saying you should have fucked me when you had the chance, you're like, well, what are we talking about? Like 30 years ago? What are we talking about?
I don't want to hear anyone say that.
I don't either, to be honest.
Not even most women, honestly. Just let's all relax a little bit.
Just calm down on your prime days and when you should have been fucked, okay? We don't need that in a song.
Hey, Olivia Rodrigo's touring. Everyone knows I fucking love Olivia Rodrigo. She's on the road July 19th to August 17th, the Guts tour. I have no intention of going because these tickets, here's the thing.
Yeah, those have to be a spendy.
I have an Olivia Rodrigo hoodie that I wear a lot. Mm-hmm. And it is a real conversation starter, as you would expect, because I look like me and I'm wearing an Olivia Rodrigo sweatshirt. And I was at the movies a couple months ago, I believe. And the cashier at the concession stand was a big Olivia Rodrigo fan. So we got into a conversation about that. She told me she got floor seats for Olivia Rodrigo's last show, which I believe was at the Forum in Inglewood, and paid $900+ for them. And it's also one of those things where you have to register as a verified fan to be able to
get
tickets. And I was, oh, no.
What now we're vetting who's allowed to go to a concert? Or is that to fight the bots?
Probably.
Off? Okay. You got to name three albums and two songs you love if you want pit tickets. Oh, shit. Okay.
Name your favorite Guts album cut.
You know, it used to be that thing where people would wear T-shirts of bands and then dudes our age would be like, name three songs, name three albums. And for a while, I think I was almost one of those guys. And after a while, I went, it's a fucking T-shirt. Who cares?
It's fun to do it to kids because kids in Nirvana shirts are such a thing now And it's like,
do you mean actual children, 5-year-olds?
Yeah. See one out there? Once their parents aren't looking, just favorite song from In Utero. Go.
Hey, kid, why don't you tell me what was the original lineup?
Radio-friendly unit shifter or lounge act. There is a right answer. So, yeah, Olivia Rodrigo.
There's hipsters in vans being like, hey, man, you want to come into my van and see some rare B-sides?
It's interesting that Kurt Cobain came up because provided the only similarity between Olivia Rodrigo and Kurt Cobain remains that they are birthday twins, I should have plenty of time to see Olivia Rodrigo in the future when the hype dies down a little bit. Maybe a Vegas residency or something.
Sure. As long as she doesn't make Courtney mad, we should be fine.
She already did. She already made Courtney Love mad because
she existed.
She took some promo pictures for her first album where she was dressed in prom gear and had makeup running down her face.
And I'm sure Courtney's like, that's the idea I stole from Kat Bajlin. You can't do that.
Exactly. Courtney Love was like, that's my thing. And it's like, have any of you seen Carrie? That's what I thought of when I saw those pictures. But yeah, she's already pissed off Courtney Love. But who doesn't piss off Courtney Love? Fuck her.
Well, you know, you don't want the full power of the CIA coming down on you. So tread lightly, Olivia.
She's taking the Breeders on tour with her. I thought that was neat.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of young acts don't do enough of that. I tell you who needs to really start getting into that is K-pop, because K-pop just shamelessly steals from 90s pop and R&B and never get taken to task for it. The least they could do is take some of those fucking acts that they steal from on the road with them. But
no. Do you think that that audience would like that?
Probably not. Because here's the thing, it kind of reminds me of the Steve Earle quote about modern country music and how it's just hip hop for people who are scared of black people.
Sure.
K-pop fans could be listening to 90s R&B and pop music by black musicians, but they don't. They want it from Korean musicians. It's like, let's not even think about why that is.
I think K-pop bands should take Steve Earle on tour with them. Have Steve Earle be the opener.
But Steve Earle does nothing but K-pop covers.
All right, BTS fans, I'm going to do some of your favorite cuts right now.
The song's called Ice Cream by Blackpink. It's the only K-pop song I could think of off the top of my head.
Oh, God. We have come up with two amazing tours that should exist. The Shakira Pantera double bill / also they're singing with each other.
Yes.
And the K-pop Steve Earle duo.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. And it is cool that she's taking the Breeders on tour with her. I read an interview with Kim Deal the other day and she concurs. Very good thing that she's taking.
That is also cool. Yes. Thank you. Did you see them last year when they were here? Did we attend the show and not see each other?
I miss the Breeders. I miss Bikini Kill. I miss so many bands, women bands in the past couple of years. I did not see the Breeders when they were here.
The Breeders, they put on a good show, and I love especially Last Splash so much. So they played a lot of songs off of that. And then Kim went into, and she was like, I used to be in another band called the Pixies. And I'm like, it's just Pixies, Kim. There's no the...
What a poser.
Yeah, no. It's like you named two albums, Kim. Come on.
Who sang background vocals on Gigantic?
But she played a couple of played a couple of Pixies songs. And I was like, you know, you could just, I get it. It's complicated, but you could just do that with the guys and everyone would love it.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be cool. But hey, at least I might get to see Mitski this summer.
Okay.
Last concert. You into Mitski at all?
I'm not. I mean, I'm not familiar, rather. Not that I'm not into them.
An indie singer, songwriter. She can shred a motherfucking guitar. She's Japanese American.
Oh, I think I do know who this is. I just didn't know their name.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. She writes really good songs. Iggy Pop a couple years ago called her America's best songwriter.
I think she's America's best songwriter. I'm Iggy Pop.
And he's wrong, but Very, very good. Her latest album is called The Land is Inhospitable and So Are We, which is a great name. It's a very mellow album compared to all her other stuff, but she is touring. I've never seen her live. I want to go see her when she's in LA in August. For one thing, Sharon Van Etten is opening, and that would be a neat 1-2 combo. I've never seen Sharon Van Etten, but they're playing the Hollywood Bowl. Ugh.
Okay, but if we're running our comedy show in the afternoon that is in front of the stage, we could just stick around afterwards.
True. That's true.
You know?
Yeah. Did we talk about that in the outtakes or on the episode?
I can't remember now, to be honest.
I don't remember either. But we were talking earlier about the Hollywood Bowl. It's a nightmare to get to. It is such a nightmare. And tickets are just always more expensive there than if she was at the Fonda or something. I'm surprised Mitski is packing out the Hollywood Bowl.
Well, you know, one thing about that's pro Hollywood Bowl that I'll say is that sometimes a band thinks they're Hollywood Bowl big and they aren't.
Oh, yeah.
And then day of, you can get really affordable tickets.
Oh, that's a hot tip. I might look into that. Also, I think I've told you this. The saddest concert experience of my life, I saw Everclear at a hockey arena in North Dakota at a point when Everclear thought they still had the audience to be touring hockey arenas and clearly did not. This arena holds, I think, 15,000 people because hockey, college hockey is huge in the upper Midwest. And I would guess they sold 500 tickets.
Oh, no.
It was really, really bad.
Oh, no.
And because of it, the sound was fucking terrible. Because normally there would be people for that sound.
To absorb. Yeah. Oh, my God.
It was brutal.
How do you take the stage?
I was surprised they didn't cancel the show because it was embarrassing.
I thought you were going to say, you know, there's only like 3,000 people there. You're like, oh, yeah, that's tough. 500 in a 15,000? Oh, my God.
Yeah, there were people in front of the stage. And then, you know how there's always the sections on the sides. The people sitting on the sides maybe got two or three sections deep. And that's it. So the whole back section of seating, bottom and top row, completely empty. Because it was a general admission show, too.
Oh, God.
And oof, it was.
That's some Spinal Tap shit. Don't you? I hope you look on New Direction.
It was very sad. So let's talk about music and movies next.
Hell yeah.
I tried to look up summer albums, but
it's not a thing anymore, is it?
I don't think so. I think people now, it's more, oh, hey, I have a new album coming out. And by the way, it comes out tomorrow.
Who just did that?
Beyonce.
No, there's somebody who just... No, Taylor Swift did that as we're recording right now.
Yeah.
Like, she just was like, I decided I wrote 30 songs. So here you go. And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I'm not mad at that.
I'm not mad at it either. But didn't she just put an album out?
No, I think that album came out a couple years ago.
I thought she just released something like 3 months ago.
She's doing a really interesting thing. Her old manager, Scooter Braun, the guy that manages Justin Bieber and shit.
That's not a real person, though, right? That's a made-up name.
He owned the publishing rights to all of her early albums and sold them off to some other label. And this is a thing Prince threatened to do to Warner Brothers. But Taylor Swift, she's re-recording all of those albums, which transfers the publishing rights back to her, basically.
I thought you were originally going to say Prince was like, I'm going to release Taylor Swift albums. I'm going to re-record all of them, but I'm going to make them Prince songs.
But Prince did threaten to do that. And the problem is
he had
too many albums for him to even consider doing that by that point. But Taylor Swift doesn't have all that many. Maybe, I don't know exactly how many, but I bet it's not more than 8, 10, something like that. So she can do it. So she's been putting out her Taylor's version of those albums, which I briefly thought about going out and trying to buy up some of the original versions of those albums because I feel like
they'll be worth
them. But I'm not trying to interact with Taylor Swift fans that way.
I'm aware of Taylor Swift. I don't dislike her. I know that she's not being like, you know who I want to court? Someone like Travis. That's who I want to be listening to my records.
Yeah.
So I know it's not necessarily music for me. So I'm aware of her, but I'm not that involved with what she does. But I'm constantly surprised by the number of people who are legitimate fans. Where do you fall?
I am not a fan. I don't dislike Taylor Swift. Her music has just never really done it for me. And it's not because she's a girl. If people have listened to any of my podcasts, you know I fuck with female musicians for sure.
I think your entire list of who you want to see is 80% female performers.
Yeah, most of my favorite musicians and performers are females. So it's not that. It's just her music compared to some of her contemporaries, I think just isn't as good. I think even Olivia Rodrigo is a better songwriter than Taylor Swift, and she's only got two fucking albums.
The Taylor Swift song that I love is, turns out, is not a real Taylor Swift song. It's the one that they did the mashup with her and Nine Inch Nails. The Perfect Drug, Shake It Off. I was like, this is awesome. Oh, this is fake. Damn.
I really liked the Ryan Adams cover album. He covered the 1989 album.
The whole album?
Yeah.
Wow.
And his versions of those songs are so good. He made Bad Blood 100% better. It sounds so much better.
Is it called 1989 Ryan's version?
It's just called 1989.
It feels he's missed an opportunity there.
She wasn't doing the Taylor's version.
So he was ahead of the curve. I see.
But yeah, I looked into albums, and Dua Lipa has an album coming out May 3rd.
That's soon.
Yeah, that's soon. And that's why we know. Billie Eilish apparently has a new album coming out May 17th.
Yeah, and she's like, this is made to be listened to in its entirety. And I'm like, that's an album. What you're describing, Billie, is an album.
Yeah, also, don't fucking tell me what to do, kid.
Have you noticed that that's the way things are? People are always releasing singles or whatever. And it's like, people will listen to a playlist, but not an album. So I don't know. I get that Billie has to explain it a little bit, but I also love that someone is thinking, a younger person, these kids today trying to make an album, a cohesive thing. It's A to B, listen to the whole thing.
Yeah, it would be nice if that could be a thing we could get back to. I've never been a playlist guy.
Me either.
Even when we were burning CDs, downloading MP3s and burning them to CDs, I was never that person who would delete the songs I didn't like from an album and burn the CD. I'm such a completist, OCD level completist, that I had to have the entire album, even if it meant I had to skip the songs I didn't like.
And this is how we became friends. We recognize this thing and one another. I see you.
Yeah, it's really a thing with me. I can't.
I can't either. Yeah.
The iPod days were torture for me because I also could not listen to an album if the punctuation wasn't right on the song titles.
Correct.
It would fuck me up. I'd have to go home and fix that before I could listen to that album.
Oh my God. It would drive me up the wall. Or if a band who puts their, let's say they're an all lowercase band and someone capitalized, you did this wrong. It can't be like that.
Yeah. Olivia Rodrigo doesn't capitalize any of her song titles. And I had to go in and
fix it.
Fuck around with that. Cause I still have an iPod. I bought an aftermarket iPod off Etsy that has a 2 terabyte hard drive.
Oh, so it's all souped up.
Yeah. So it can hold really high
all the music.
Quality audio files and a whole lot of them. So I still have an iPod. And
that's cool, man.
It's still the same thing. If the artwork isn't there, I have to go in and put that artwork there. I can't listen to the album.
So one of my favorite guys is a guy named Chris Goss. He had a band called Masters of Reality. He's also a great record producer. But some of his later records, he only released in Europe because that's where his market was. And so if you can find his albums, and they've started showing up on some of the streaming things, the album artwork is wrong and it drives me up the wall. So I have to go find the JPEG of the actual album, save it, drag it in so that it looks right, or I will be forever annoyed, just like you.
Yeah. I don't know what it is. That's crazy that we are both that same way. Maybe literally crazy.
I think what it is for me is I just assumed everyone else cared that much about this music the way I do. And when you meet people, they're like, oh, I don't even know what those lyrics are. You're like, what do you mean? The story. I would be insufferable about trying to explain. That's not what the song's about.
Yeah. Back when I was working insurance jobs, I was at my office job once and I was training. So I was sitting with another employee and this country song called I Hope You Dance came on. This girl was like, oh, I really love this song. I was like, yeah, it's nice that she wrote a song like this about her kids. And she was like, this is about her kids? I thought it was about breaking up with her boyfriend. I was like, no, she wrote it about her kids. And she was like, is that why there's so many kids in the video? It's like, God damn, you don't even pay that much attention?
Oh, I love it. Brandy is, my wife grew up in a family that listened to a lot of country music. So she has exposed me to a lot of stuff that I didn't listen to before. And we were listening to George Jones, He Stopped Loving Her Today.
Hell yeah.
And she was like, yeah, it's just sad. It's like, today's the day he just can't love her anymore. And he's breaking up with her. I'm like, no, he's dead. He died. He stopped loving her. He loved her his whole life, even after they weren't a couple. And he stopped loving her today because he's dead. She's like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, they're taking him.
That is exactly what that song is about. Yeah. One of my favorite George Jones tidbits, aside from him getting a DUI on a riding lawnmower. He has a song called She Thinks I Still Care. And when I was a kid, I would see commercials for this album of comedy parody versions of country songs.
Oh, good.
Ray Stevens, if you're familiar with him. I don't remember what band it was, but they had a parody version of She Thinks I Still Care by George Jones called She Thinks I Steal Cars. And it was the best. It was so fucking funny.
I'm not ashamed to admit that a silly parody song will make me laugh uncontrollably. Back when We Didn't Start the Fire by Billy Joel was a big song.
Oh, sure.
There was a parody called I Didn't Fart, You Liar. And I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard.
That is pretty fucking fun.
I didn't fart, you liar. I had some gas, but it's gonna pass. Just still hilarious to me.
It's hilarious. Hey, Lenny Kravitz has a new album coming out. You care?
Lenny Kravitz has been on my social media feed because he has a crazy workout. And I sometimes forget. He just does weird shit. I'm a passing Lenny Kravitz fan. I'd be curious.
He's had some songs I liked a lot. His greatest hits album is Nothing to Shake a Stick At. But yeah, I'm not going to just go out and buy a new Lenny Kravitz.
No, I'll stream it and have an opinion about it.
He's one where you don't want to pay attention to the lyrics too much because he is not a good lyric writer. I don't know. It's a thing. People know Lenny Kravitz isn't great with lyrics, but he's got some bangers. Are You Gonna Go My Way is obviously a really fucking good song.
I remember I brought that to my guitar teacher ages ago. You took guitar lessons at one point, right? Every guitar teacher wants to tell you why what you're bringing them is a piece of shit and how you should be listening to something else. It's just, I don't know. It's the guitar teacher mentality. So when I brought him, Are You Gonna Go My Way? He goes, this is just a ripoff of a Hendrix lick, but it's not even done right. It's Voodoo Child, but he doesn't know how to play it. And I'm like, cool, man. So how do I play it? Why don't you just teach me how to do it?
Yeah. And I can see what he's saying, but also, yeah, that's how music works, dude.
Yeah.
Bon Jovi has a new album coming out June 7th.
I thought he couldn't sing it. I thought something happened to his voice.
Yeah, I don't keep up with developments in man's life.
You don't have Jovi news alerts going on?
They are legitimately one of my least favorite bands of all time. They just don't do it for me. I can't stomach it one bit.
Even the Slippery When Wet era, the big Living on a Prayer, all that shit.
I acknowledge that they're good songs and I get why people like them, but Bon Jovi just ain't for me. I feel like there's a few bands out there where it's really a one or the other thing. And for me, it's always felt like Springsteen or Bon Jovi.
Oh, you got to pick a lane. Those are your two options.
What version of New Jersey do you want to side with?
Sure.
The Bon Jovi side or the Springsteen side? I bet I'd like the Springsteen side a little bit more. And yeah, Nirvana, Guns N' Roses. You can't do both. Mm.
Can't do both. Hi, Axel.
I love that story.
I do too. Quick Bon Jovi story. I might have told this before. Ages ago, there was a Star Wars Christmas record that came out where they were like Christmas in the Stars, I think it's called. And there's all these really silly, they were trying to capitalize on the first Star Wars movie being popular with kids. They're like, kids love Christmas. Let's make a Christmas thing. And one of the featured singers is John Bonjanovich, who would go on to become John Bon Jovi.
See, I thought his real name was Bon Jovi.
I think it's something like whatever it is. Maybe I'm remembering his name wrong, but whatever it's
B-O-N-G-I-O-V-A-N-I. Bon Giovanni or something. Like
that. Bon Giovanni. Yeah, that's what it is. I don't know why I made him Polish, I think. I'm not sure what made him some kind of Eastern Bloc country. I'm not sure why I did that. But yeah.
Also, Nick Cave and the Bad Seeds have an album coming out August 30th. Wild God. They fucking rule.
They're the best.
Yeah. They had an album out a few years ago called Dig Lazarus Dig.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, that's a tasty treat. God, I love that album.
I've never seen any version of Nick Cave live, solo, Bad Seeds, any of that.
Same. And I would fucking love to. Nick Cave is so good and so surrounded by tragedy. Hasn't he had two kids die?
Oh, I didn't. I just assumed he was just a moody man. I didn't know things happened to him.
No, he definitely lost a child recently.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Cave.
Yeah, in July 2015, his 15 or wait, no. Yeah, I don't know exactly. But there's a headline on New York Times Magazine. Nick Cave lost two sons and his fans saved his life. So, yeah, he's had a rough go of things. Sucks.
Let's go see him live and cheer him up if the fans are saving him.
Yeah, if he's touring and comes to L.A., I'd absolutely go see Nick Cave. Feels like we have to soon, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's only got international tour dates right now. You want to go see him in Milan?
I mean, I do. I'm just worried about the commute.
It would be very romantic. You have to admit
that. It would. Oh, can we take a cruise?
Of course. Let's take a cruise there.
Let's do it. Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Let's take a Nick Cave cruise where it's just the Bad Seas, where we just go on a Nick Cave cruise and it's just them playing the whole time.
Yeah, he's not coming anywhere near us. It's all European dates and Australian dates. Fine.
Well, he is Australian, right? Yeah. We'll go to Australia.
Okay, that's fine. Yeah, that makes sense. The Netherlands. We can check him out in the Netherlands. So we got movies coming out.
Hell yeah, we do. I'm excited about this first one.
Are you excited about The Crow coming out June 7th?
I am, but you're not.
I wasn't a huge fan of the movie, but you're excited about it?
I am. I liked the first movie, and they have been teasing this idea that they are rebooting The Crow for a decade. So I'm like, okay, I've been waiting. Let's do it.
Yeah, it does seem like a thing that should have happened about a decade ago, but sometimes that's for the best. Sometimes you don't want to get in too early.
Yeah, I mean, from the promos I've seen, I will say my concern is that The Crow looks a little more like Jared Leto's Joker than The Crow.
Oh, yeah. It's a shame that this is going to be Bill Skarsgård's last movie.
It is.
Because I'm assuming he's going to die on the set also, if we're trying to make it an authentic reboot.
Well, you have to, right? And then you have to have a scene of him coming out of his own grave like the original.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Is Alec Baldwin producing this?
Yikes. Oh, boy.
Also, pop singer FKA Twigs is in this.
Fuck a Twigs?
Yeah. I have never heard any of her songs, but she used to date Shia LaBeouf, and he was apparently very abusive toward her.
I think we have another Shia LaBeouf love interest on the...
Oh, that's right. We sure do. Yeah. Coming up.
Yeah, coming up. Yeah.
That gets around.
Nature do.
And that Shia LaBeouf love interest, Will Smith. Bad Boys, Ride or Die, June 7th.
Keep my motherfucking name at your motherfucking mouth. Wapop.
That was more shocking than 9/11 to me.
Oh, my God.
Because 9/11 was going to happen someday.
Right. But it was orchestrated by the same people.
Exactly.
That's the weird part.
Saudi Arabia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you had written those two things down on a piece of paper in like 1998 and you were like, one of these two things is for sure going to happen. Massive terrorist attack in the United States. Will Smith slaps the shit out of Chris Rock at the Oscars. I'd be like, that it's going to be the terrorist attack, obviously.
Clearly, yeah.
What a moment.
This other one, yeah, you're just trying to throw me off the scent with this Will Smith nonsense. Not America's beloved Fresh Prince. He wouldn't do such a thing.
And not to Chris Rock.
Yeah, America's beloved
Chris Rock.
SNL cast member.
Yeah.
Yeah, at the time.
So, yeah, I actually don't care about this movie.
I'm not a Bad Boys fan. I haven't watched any of the other movies. I'm not a, is it, which filmmaker is it that loves to blow things up?
Michael Bay.
Bay. I'm not a Bay head.
I think we call them Bay Watchers.
Really? That makes sense.
Imagine being enough of a Michael Bay fan and then finding enough other Michael Bay fans that you come up with a nickname for yourselves. I don't think there's that many Michael Bay fans.
I think you would be surprised.
Yeah, I suppose. I heard a juicy, juicy rumor about him once.
Oh, let's hear
it. And it's just a rumor, so I'm not saying this happened for sure. But according to lore, while he was filming one of the Transformers movies in Albuquerque, New Mexico, there was an incident where he was hitting on a girl, and it went well enough that they went back to his hotel room, at which point he was tied up and robbed. And to quote the person who told me this story, he hit on the wrong Chili's waitress.
One, fantastic. Two, I think you're confusing an episode of Seinfeld with Transformers.
Could be.
Yeah. I love this because good.
Yeah.
Is my thought. Yeah.
Because I believe he was married too. So.
But not only that, that dude just puts people in danger because he's like, all right, blow this up now. And even didn't he almost kill Shia LaBeouf? I feel like we're talking about Shia LaBeouf a lot, but didn't he almost kill him in one of those movies? And that's why he wouldn't come back.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise me at all. I really liked Shia LaBeouf in that first Transformers movie.
Yeah. But you know what I love, just because I love things that make no sense, is I love when Mark Wahlberg becomes the protagonist.
Oh, yeah.
And Mark Wahlberg lives in deep rural Texas, but still has a Boston accent. Love it. Just love it. Makes me happy.
Good filmmaking.
Yeah.
Speaking of good filmmaking, got an M. Night Shyamalan joint coming out June 14th. Here's the thing. I personally feel like M. Night Shyamalan has been more good than bad for 10 years now, at least.
Okay.
Because when did The Visit come out?
Ooh, that was a good one. That's like 10 years ago, right?
2015. And since then, I liked The Visit. I liked Glass and...
Do you like Old?
I liked Old.
I liked Old too, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah, I liked Old. I like Servant, his Apple TV series.
I liked Servant as it started, and by the end of it, I went, what happened?
Yeah, it gets weird.
Yeah.
This movie is a team up with his daughter, Ishana Knight Shyamalan. I like that he gave her the Knight name too. That's,
yeah.
Unless that's, is that his just last name or is that his middle name?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But didn't she also work on Servant too?
She did. She directed at least a few episodes. I don't know if she maybe wrote some, but I'm interested to see this. It's about a group of people who get stranded on an island and realize there are weird creatures watching them at night. It's called The Watchers, and I'll go see it again. I think he's been more good than bad. He seems to me, and this is going to be a weird comparison at first, kind of like Korn or Limp Bizkit, in that he can do all the good shit he wants, but most people are never going to accept it as good because of the name. And I think that's a sad way to live your life. But if you want to live your life that way, go for it. I don't care.
But at the same time, studios are still giving him work. It's not like he's, man, I had to start over. I had to change my name. I had to do all kinds of stuff to get shit done. He's been consistently working.
Yeah. And I personally think it's been more good than bad recently. So I'll go see this.
But speaking of our Will Smith fan friend, though, what's the Will Smith movie he made that one I couldn't get through?
He made a Will Smith movie?
He made a Will Smith movie where him and Jaden come back to Earth, and it's not good. After Earth, maybe?
Oh, was that him?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, After Earth. See? 2013.
Okay.
That is pre-Renaissance Shyamalan. That's before.
The Shyamalance?
Yeah, exactly. Maxine. That's with three X's.
Hell yeah, it is.
July 5th. This is the latest in the X franchise.
The movie with Vin Diesel, where he's like a undercover agent / motorcycle rider?
That's Triple X, but it would be funny if this was part of that universe also.
Right.
Dual citizenship.
I've seen X. I have not seen Pearl. So yes, I am familiar with the franchise.
Pearl is better. Pearl I liked a lot better than X. I thought X was fine. I thought Pearl was really, really fucking great.
Pearl's a prequel to X, right? It's about the old lady in X, yeah. Right?
And this apparently takes place in the 70s, which...
Doesn't X take place in the 70s?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it sure does. So, yeah, that'll be... I guess it's picking that story up where it left off. I don't know.
And Mia Goth, where did she, I feel like she just appeared. Like she was just suddenly in things. She was not on my radar. And then I hear about her all the time now.
She's just everywhere. She co-wrote Pearl, I believe.
Oh.
She has a really kind of famous monologue in Pearl that goes on for like 8 minutes. And I believe she wrote that monologue, which was like one of the highlights of the movie. So good for her.
And currently involved with Shia LaBeouf?
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Boy, Shia LaBeouf and Will Smith really just killing it in our abilities to know things. Well, a couple of things I'm super excited about that are not music or movie or any of that kind of related is summer hiking season. And so on May 15th, which is just in about a little bit of a month, I am going to try and summit Mount Whitney again. That's 14,505 feet. It is the highest mountain in the contiguous U.S., 21 miles-ish total. Although I'm not expecting to summit it this go-round because we've had so much rain and snow that I doubt I'll be able to get to the top without dying. So I will probably go to Death Valley afterwards because the highest point in the U.S. is 150 miles from the lowest point in the U.S., so you can see the highest and lowest, and there's a lake in Death Valley right now that isn't normally there because of all the rain. So I want to try and see that before it goes away. So that's something I'm super excited about. Been training for a month and a half now.
It sounds like me and my plans to go see the graffiti towers in downtown LA. I got to train for that. I got to get my stomach ready to hit Grand Central Market.
You do, because you can't go in there unprepared. No. There's too many options, and you have to, if you don't have the right biome in the gut, you're going to have trouble.
Yep. What else are you doing?
On June 20th, I'm going to try and hike Mount Whitney.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I'm going twice, because in order to hike Mount Whitney, you need a permit. It's really hard to get a permit. You have to enter this lottery, and it's really complicated, and I got lucky enough to get two. I probably will not summit in May, so I'm definitely going to shoot to summit in June, mostly because, Adam, and I think this is correct, you will not respect me unless I do it.
I think I've told you that, and if not, I'm telling you that now.
Yeah. So in order to gain your respect, I have to climb the highest mountain in the contiguous United States. Otherwise, this whole time, I just know that secretly you think I'm a piece of shit.
In my defense, I make everyone in my life do it. So
that's true.
Yeah. It's kind of a badge of honor, if I'm being
it's true. Most people don't know that if you're heard on Adam's podcasts, you've had to summit the highest mountain in the contiguous United States. And I'm the only exception currently. And so until I do it, everyone thinks I'm just a poser.
Yeah, it's a weird vibe around the office.
It's true. It's very true. Then in August, I'm going to Yosemite to hike a Half Dome. It's another one of those really hard to get this permit. And it's one of the bucket list hikes. So I will be trying to do that on August 21st. Then things that I hope to do, but may not do because hiking is incredibly dangerous and could claim me in the form of injury, snake bite, or bear attack. I want to try and do Cactus to Clouds, which is one of the hardest and deadliest hikes in North America.
What makes it so deadly?
It's not really a trail for like 10 miles. It's just you're going through. If you've ever been to Palm Springs, there's the aerial tram that goes up the mountain.
Sure.
So you could take that, or you could do Cactus to Clouds and you could just cut through and like a slightly marked path. So people die on that every year, like 5 people a year, I think. Fellow hikers don't recommend doing it. And rangers in the area say, please don't do this. But Adam, you have said, once again, you will not respect me unless I do it. So this is another thing I feel I have to do.
And Travis is the only one I've made do this.
Yeah, that's true. That was the one you were like, because you haven't done Mount Whitney and you've been doing shows this long, if you now have to do this extracurricular Cactus to Clouds or fuck off, I think is what you said.
Yeah, it was fuck off. Well, fuck off forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I'm hoping to go to the Grand Canyon and do Rim to Rim. Or Rim to Rim to Rim, which sounds like a group sex act, but it isn't. Basically, it's down to the river and back up to the other rim, or it's down to the river, up to the other rim, back down to the river, back up to the rim where you started. That's really hard. Or I might try and do the Trans Catalina Trail. You know Catalina, the island?
I do know Catalina, the island.
There's a trail that goes all the way through the island It is, yeah, the entire island. It takes 3 to 5 days to do.
I've never been to Catalina. I do like that the Catalina wine mixer is a real thing now. I also like that it took about 15 years for that to happen after the movie Step Brothers came out. Have you ever seen Step Brothers?
Oh, I love Step Brothers. Is that where they do the boats and hoes thing?
Fucking Catalina wine mixer. I've never been. I like that they have buffalo there because of a movie.
No, they have buffalo there. That's what they used to raise there. And there's a famous drink there called buffalo milk.
But I think the buffalo first got there because someone was filming a movie.
Oh, like an old Western?
Yeah, something like that.
I thought you were saying they brought buffalo over.
No.
Step Brothers. I'm like, I don't know if that's true.
No. I've heard that the origin story of how buffalo ended up on Catalina Island is because someone was filming a movie there.
Well, you can go to the wine mixer. I'll do the trail and then we'll meet up in 5 days.
Yeah, that's fine. So I'm going to drink wine for 5 days.
Why not?
Just waiting for Travis.
You said he'd come back.
I guess the thing I want to talk about that is not movies, music, TV, things of the like. It's still TV, though. It's a thing you can watch on TV. And that is the upcoming WNBA season. Here's the thing. If you're not aware, women's college basketball and women's basketball in general is
having a moment.
Really having a moment right now. And there were a bunch of really neat storylines and matchups in women's college basketball this year that are carrying over into the WNBA this season. And I am so excited about it that I have a new podcast out. Not that I need another podcast on my plate, but hey, I wanted to do a WNBA podcast. So I am. It's called WNBA. And it is co-hosted by me and Logan Trent, who is a massive WNBA fan. And the first episode, by the time this is up, should be up everywhere podcasts are. It's called the 2024 WNBA Draft, because that's what the episode's about. And we talk about it a lot on the pod, but this is a good time to get into women's basketball if you're not. It's having a Michael Jordan comes to the league type of moment, or a Magic versus Bird type of moment.
Yeah, and there's a really big player right now that everyone's talking about.
Caitlin Clark, yeah.
And a lot of people don't know, that's my sister.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I mentioned that.
You didn't.
Yeah, I should have mentioned that. That's my sister.
Are you estranged? Because her family was at every game.
We're working on it.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the last thing I wanted to talk about. WNBA games are cheap to go to. I'm going to a game in June, the LA Sparks versus, I believe, the Minnesota Lynx. And tickets were $30 each. And we are in the front row.
Oh, you're in the Jack Nicholson seats?
No, we're not courtside.
Okay.
There's courtside seats, and then there's the row right behind that. We're in that row for $30 each.
Damn.
I feel like if they had been available when I looked for tickets, I probably could have gotten courtside seats for not an unreasonable amount of money. But I'm still excited to go. $30 each? That's crazy.
So if I turn on a WNBA game on TV, there's chances I'll see you sitting in the audience?
There is. For some reason, the game is in Long Beach. The Sparks have like 5 games that are at Long Beach State University. But then I'm also going to a game in July at the Crypt, where they're playing the Las Vegas Aces, who are like the Golden State Warriors of the WNBA. They are a dynasty.
Who comes up with the names for teams? Because after a while, isn't every team name taken at this point?
The Aces was probably pretty easy because there's not a ton of sports teams in Las Vegas. So I like when teams move and don't change their name.
Like the LA Lakers.
The LA Lakers are a great example. The Utah Jazz.
That's also great.
Scene in Utah.
Huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that kind of shit. But
there's a Reno, Nevada minor league baseball team called the Silver Sox. I thought that was a cool name.
Oh yeah. Minor league baseball gets it when it comes to stuff like that. The Albuquerque, New Mexico has a minor league baseball team called the Isotopes.
That's awesome.
Really great. And their games are, I've never been to one, but they are apparently just massive amounts of fun.
Is there mascot Oppenheimer, like a big foam just Oppenheimer.
Just a vial of plutonium sitting in a case on the outfield wall. If you hit a home run and hit it, we're up.
Oh, look, on the field right now, it's the Bombs, Fat Boy and Little Man.
Yeah. Yeah, that's their mascot. It's just a bomb flying toward Japan. Really kind of tasteless, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but hey, you look, whatever puts people in the seats, you got to realize they're in the entertainment business, not the sports business.
Exactly. And I think that's our episode, right? We did it. People know exactly what to do this summer.
Hell yeah. Go see Shakira, go on a really strenuous hike, and go see a WNBA game.
Yeah, and if you do anything besides all that, fuck you.
Yeah, you will not gain Adam's respect, and it's clearly the only thing I'm chasing.
Yeah, I'm going to need you to meet Travis on Mount Whitney.
Please.
To get this respect. Hey, Travis, thank you so much for doing the pod. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, my man.
It was lots of fun. What do we have to plug before we get out of here? AdamTodBrown.substack.com. That's all I got. What about you?
I would like it if you went to AdamTodBrown.substack.com, and I talk about it here and there. Go check out Marvel Move. I'm part of that. So listen to that. It's a fun app. You can run around and listen to Marvel characters give you missions to do. Or just, I'm on social media, but I'm not on social media now, I guess. Yeah. I guess follow me on Instagram. If any of the hiking stuff I mentioned sound interested to you, or you want to see photos from that, follow me at Track Rivals on Instagram. I'll probably be posting photos of stuff I'm doing.
Very nice. And let's get the fuck out of here. Travis, say goodbye.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. In it. Street!